Blog Talk Radio.
American Voices with my friend Alicia Menendez starts right now.
First, hello everyone. I'm Menendez. To air tonight, a massive manhunt is underway in Texas.
Good evening. This is one of your messengers for today, which is W.J. Armstrong, and we want to welcome you to Words That Work. It's not what you say. It's what the people hear and feel. And today, we want to share with you some thoughts regarding the topic, regarding our topic. And once we share the topic is, who is the Lord / God in your life? Who? It's a question. And we are in the process of taking a look at all of this. And I'm checking to make sure that I'm broadcasting. Give me a minute if I am. I will tell you in a hot second if I'm not.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
Well, as I said, okay, I am live. And that's what I was doing to make sure that I was live and on the air, and I'm sort of waiting for a moment or two to see if my co-host is going to show up. And as we're waiting, my whole thing is, what or who? Some reason I can't get back to my, I should have recorded it. It's in my phone and I'm having a few issues here. Yes. Well, evidently that wasn't meant to be today. But we're going to move right along here. And we're going to look at what's in your heart is what comes out of your mouth. Matthew 15:18 is one of the scriptures that I'm searching for. And it says, but the things that come out of your mouth come from the heart. That's Matthew 15:18. And you say, what is it that How does that relate to the topic? It relates completely for me, and hopefully for you. It will help you to understand and relate to some of those things that you see that's taking place in the world today. The hatred, the anger, and all of that. Because you see, what you see, whatever enter the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body. Think about that now. What goes into the mouth, it goes where? Into the stomach. And then where does it go? Then out of the body. And if we take a look at all of this and relate it back to our topic and relate it to those things that's happening around us today, what we see, then we can look at Proverbs 3:5-6. It says, it states, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Now you say, that's stressing it, don't you think? No, it's not. Whenever you sit with the word, you can't just read it, and then you need to sit with it and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what is being said, what's being communicated to you. Now, you say, again, there's a correlation between what enters your mouth, it goes in your stomach, and then out of the body. Now, you put something in your mouth, it goes, get processed, and what it doesn't need, the body doesn't need, it discharges it. And now let's look at the mouth. Things that come out of the mouth come from where? The heart. Now we're going to think about that a little bit. What was our topic again? It had something to do with who is the creator. Who is our creator? Who is the Lord God in your life? Who? And how do we get to that? And the scripture, Matthew 15:18, is what comes out of your mouth. It's what's in your heart. Now see, if we follow that, well, first let us take a look at the heart. Your heart is one of your most important organs in your body that keeps your body functioning. With the other heart, the blood can't move between your organs, between the vessel, between the brain, between the feet, the legs. So that makes your heart the center. Just take a moment and just think about it. Picture it. Draw a circle in the middle of you, and then just run some lines from that circle to various parts of your body. And you begin to understand why they say what's in your heart is what comes out of your mouth. When I look at what's happening now, I see all the murders. I see the sexual immorality. It was just disheartening. I was reading where this priest had molested a 5-year-old child years ago. I mean, it's what was in his heart that allowed him to do that. And I'm just picking on him, using him as an example, because I am a spiritual leader myself. And those thoughts never went through my mind. What was in his heart is what caused him to do what he did. Death, slander, and it goes on and on. Hatred. Back to our topic again. Who is the God that you serve? Now, I have my holy book. I'm not sure what holy book you have, but my holy book states that in the first book, Genesis, we call Genesis, it says, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And the earth came to be formless and empty, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the spirit of Elohim was moving on the face of the waters. Okay, for me, that sums up the God that I serve, or the creator. I call him creator. Why? Because he created the heavens and earth. Nothing existed before him. He did all of this, put this in place. And the chapter's a little long, but I want you to read it after today for yourself. And then I want you to sit with it for 15 minutes or more and allow the, well, first, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth and to lead you into an understanding of what the scripture is saying to you. And just read, because as it goes on, it tells you who created humans. There were no humans before. There was no earth before. And that's where humans lived on or exist on earth. There was no heavens before. So there was no angels. So all of this came about as a result of the creator, Elohim. Elohim is a name for God that the Hebrews use. And they, because we look at now, we see all kinds of idols worshiping. And whenever I got into understanding of this, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 1 and 2, not even 3, that gave me a foundation of who the Creator is. And therefore, I never really bought into, at a conscious level, of idolatry or anything other than the one that created. I said, now, so I want you to be clear. Now we get into the heart. What do you value more than anything else that you will put it before the one that's in verse, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2? Why would you put that which the creator created, or that was formed out of what the creator created? Why would you elevate that above the creator? And when you continue to read Genesis, you will see that the creator put everything in the earth that we humans would need before he created us. So what is that saying about a creator? The creator, he didn't create white people and then create some more people. He didn't create black people and then decide to create some yellow people. No. We all have one beginning, according to the word. Now, I know there's lots of misinterpretation of the word. I know there's lots of false teaching of the word. Because if we just look at what's happening now, I know out in the Midwest, they got white-only churches. They just formed them last year. And there was two that I read about, white-only. Does that line up with what's written here? But what we can see and understand is what's coming out of their heart. I mean, what's coming out of their mouth is what's in their heart. So now if we begin to examine all this, we look at what the word says. The word, even the teaching of Jesus, he talked about unity. He didn't talk about division on us being in the kingdom. We will be one. But he did say that people will not be, that there will be division and there will be conflict and tension between people. And that's simple because some people will accept his teaching and some people will not. And because they don't accept the teaching. And now let's just pause another second here and we go back and ask the question, where did he get the words, what he taught? Where did he get that from? He got it from the Creator. Just read John 17, and it's laid out. I want us to really think about all of these things whenever we begin to look around us and we begin to react to situations and circumstances that we see that's happening in the earth today. And go back to the topic, words that work. Hatred works because hatred has caused a whole system to be developed around hatred. So that's how you can have, and we all say we're Christians now. That's why you can have a white-only church, and they can go in their church. And they can come out feeling good about having worship. Now, sometimes we wonder, did the book I read out of, it didn't say that there was a white-only God and a non-white God? Didn't say that. It was clear. The in the beginning. So now we're processing all this to help you whenever to understand what it is that you're looking at whenever you see all of this stuff, evil, that's going on. When you see the murders, when you see all the sexual immorality, the theft, the false teaching, the slander, think about it. In the beginning, that was the Creator. Now, whenever you read on down a little further, you see also that he created everything on this earth, that's in the earth and that's on the earth, that's in the sea. And what did he do? He gave humankind authority over it. He didn't give one group, just one group alone authority over it. That's not what the word says. That's contrary to what people are telling each other and the message that's being sent. So we wonder, how did that get in their heart? Now if we go jump down to Revelation and look at the seven churches, that gives us some idea as to what happened. We have false teachers. we had false prophets, which produced false doctrine. And the separation. Then we go back and look at denominations. How all of this came about. You have, I know I was in the Methodist Episcopal South Church, and that was a black church. Go up the street, there was a white church, which was Methodist Episcopal South. We didn't go to their church. They didn't come to our church. But yet we're in the same denomination. That's where I grew up. Now I'm no longer a part of that denomination. But I'm just looking at things historically in my lifetime. And I could never understand how we were in the same denomination, but we treated people differently. Until I start coming into an understanding of what it meant. You hear things. You hear the preacher talking about what's in your heart. And I'm sitting there, and I'm rapping, come on. My heart. Ain't no brain in my heart. That's a biological organ that's pumping blood throughout my body. But whenever I begin to mature in the faith and go back and read Genesis again and begin to see the Creator, I then began to understand from a spiritual perspective, because what happened, what did he say? In verse 2, and the Lord and the earth came to be formless and empty, and darkness was the face of the deep, and the spirit of Elohim was moving on the face of the waters. Now, we have all these different images of what God looked like. It says he was a spirit, not a physical being, but a spirit. It didn't say he was a ghost either. It says he was a spirit. Get to the ghost. That's how stuff creeps in. Into the word, people's interpretation. And whenever people, they're going to interpret it based on their culture, their society that they live in. And that's why we have to go back and take a look at the original language. It was Hebrew, written in Hebrew, not English, not Greek, not Latin. So, in the translation from the Hebrew, and lots of times there's not a word in the English, Latin, or Greek language that corresponds to Hebrew, one of the Hebrew words. So then that's how things get worked into the word, the Bible, the holy book, that doesn't correspond with the original meaning. But what's in your heart is what comes out of your mouth. How do you get things into your heart? Let's just say your heart, let's just call it a second mind. This is for the sake of discussion today. Your heart functions like a second mind if we look at it as the center of your being, as your soul. What you put in there. And so how do we get things in there? We read. We listen. We hear what other people are saying. And that's the second part of the topic of the program. The ministry title is, it's what the people hear and feel. So whenever you put words in, that doesn't translate directly from the Hebrew into the English, Latin, or the Greek, it sort of takes a little bit away from the true meaning. And that's what I see now the divine spirit is in the process of doing. And that's why we are not use, a lot of us are not using the word God as often as we used to. We are using the Hebrew names, Elohim. And that's this is the Hebrew Bible that I was reading that from, because of Elohim. Elohim is a plural noun. The plural noun. You hardly ever find them, but it's a plural noun. It, the being is so dynamic, so there's no single word that can express the essence of the character of the Creator. And as we put that into our heart, process it, we begin to come to a different level of understanding. Whenever we see all these events that's taking place around us, we start asking the question, who is their God? Who is the God that they are serving? It's not Elohim. According to the Hebrew Bible, which is what Christianity came out of, we always went around talking about Father Abraham. And Father Abraham gave birth to the three dominant religious systems. They say religion, then they not say systems as well. You have your Judaism. You have Christianity. And Christianity and Judaism, they coexist for a while. Until one felt that one was growing too fast, because they met in the same temple. Islam, Father Abraham, again. And Father Abraham knew a spiritual being that spoke to him, because he knew those idols that they were selling, him and his fathers, they were selling idols. Or you want to say lesser gods. I just look at it as they were selling items that was formed from the what the Creator had created. And the people worshiped it. They called it God. That is why I raised the question. Now I'm going to fast forward it to and talk a little bit about I was into idolatry. Why was I into idolatry? I put my car above the Creator. I put my Volkswagen bus above the Creator. I put my motorhome above the Creator. Now you say, now how did you do that? I would fill my tank up on Friday before I got off from work or on the way home from work, knowing that we were getting out of town. Had no intention of going to any meeting place, any gathering place, any church. I had more, that means that what was in my heart was not God, not definitely not Elohim. If you want to say the lesser God, that I made the God out of the car, out of the job I had. And whenever we look at things from that perspective, what do we do? We see that we are elevated those things that was formed from the creation. Because if I didn't have a job, I had a job that was running out of money. My body reacted to it. My body reacted. My stomach would bother me. It said then that I was worshiping money and a certain amount of money and using that money to buy material things and buy objects. Now, I'll be more explicit. Thought I was Volkswagen. Then went to Volvo. Best Volvo we bought was in 1972. Had to have a Volvo. That's where my heart was. Not status, but why did I buy a Volvo? I went from a Volkswagen to a Volvo because of my Volkswagen. I knew if I hit something, I'm dead. I started thinking safety, because in Volkswagen, there's no engine up front. I used to watch this commercial. They had Volvos stacked on top of each other. 10 years. That impressed me. I put my faith in safety in that car as opposed to in the Creator. And over time, the Creator showed me that my faith should be in him, that he was the one that was protecting me. That took place in 1979. I was flying a little four-passenger plane, and I couldn't pull over on the clouds and park it. The weather deteriorated. I had to get down from up there. And I didn't have experience in crosswind landing. Now they call it wind shear. The weather deteriorated after I got up there. And it was the Creator that protected me that got me down, because I didn't know how I was going to get down. And I crashed, and I walked away. That became the God Elohim. Showed me that those material things, that first Volvo, by that time, I had 250-some thousand miles on it, and it was about time for another one. So I had to get another one. But who is the God that you serve? It was the material things for me. And the only reason I started going to church, and I would sit up in church sometimes and say, I wish you shut up so I can get out of here. Because I had to go. We had a tank of gas, 56-gallon tank is what that motorhome held, 56 gallons. We run out of church and jump in the motorhome and go down to Fort Royal, Virginia. We had our food in it and everything. And I didn't worry about the kids. They got sleepy. They could lay down and go to sleep on the way back. My thought process is sitting up in church wasn't of the divine. It was still, that was the God that was in my heart. So now, when I open the mics, I want to know, who is the God that you serve or served? And we're not, I want you to keep it real, because as people listen to us that's in the situation that we're in, I know people listen to me, listen now, they can relate to where I was. And they can relate, some people can relate to the process that I went through, because they went through a similar process and they began to recognize who the real God is. And as a result of that, then I began to understand what my purpose in life is as it relates to the calling that he placed on my life. That I wasn't just floating around here, that I wasn't the result of my parents having sex, and all of a sudden here comes a little baby. I come to realize that the spirit, you know, that spirit, the back here now, and my Bible doesn't say nothing about no ghosts. It says, and the spirit of Elohim was moving on the face of the waters. So Elohim is a spirit. And as I said, the chapter is a little long. I wish I had time to read the whole thing so that you could get the gist of what it is that I believe and why I believe it and how the word had led me to this. You said, well, now you never seen God. That's true. I haven't. I heard him. He spoke to me. Oh, you were hallucinating. Nope. Was not smoking weed. Was not on distilled spirits. I was lamenting over the fact that, because this was at one of my, where I was pastor, that people are going to say I divided the church. And he said, why not you? Just like I'm sitting here talking to you. So I know that he exists. I know that he exists because the airplane crashed. I said, oh, my wife would be a widower. And I walked away with a broken arm and a cut between my eyes. Or you say, oh, he had a lump on his head. That's why he was hallucinating. Nope. It is real. Now, I'm going to open the mic. And we're going to have, this is time for a discussion. Remember, words that work. The words that were working for me before I got into the Bible and started looking at the Creator and who the Creator is and how I relate to the Creator and how the Creator works, relates to me, then the meaning of the words change, because said words have meaning. And those words now, my understanding, those words now gave me an understanding that wasn't mine. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And what was in my heart got replaced. Wasn't the need for that car, for that job, for that money, for that prestige, for none of that. What was in my heart was trust in the Lord, the Creator, and his word is what gave me the ability to trust him. The word helped me to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. So if I didn't have the money, my stomach didn't bother me. Just wanted us to think about some of the impact that what we believe have upon us, mentally, physically, etc. The mics are open now. Anybody have a comment? Anybody want to take exception? That's fine, because we all have a different relationship of the same Creator, because we all come from different times and different space. Now I'm going to give you a moment to think about that and then give us your comments.
So basically you're saying that we need to be around positive wording or create a positive path with the words that we use. Is that what I'm understanding, Apostle?
Say that again.
Okay, so you said it's the words. Like you said, you're inspired by certain words that keep you living in a, you know, relatively healthy and wealthy, as you say, rich, fulfilled life for God, et cetera. So, like, the positive words that I always try to keep myself inspired with is, for I know the past I have for you, something on that order. I forgot the passage because I'm over here walking. And stay away from a double-minded man because they are unstable. People are unstable, so stay away from those type of people. That's James 1:8. So that's my inspiration that keeps me going.
Yeah, that is where I had to arrive at before I could depend on the Creator, depend on anything outside of me, because before that, I was a captain of my own fate. It was about me. It was about what I could do. And it was about what went on in my circle. But once I got into the word itself, that became part of my heart. And that's what I put in my heart. And whenever that went in there, then I was able to understand things and they not bother me. Now I look around and I see all the stuff that's going on, the evil that's going on, all that. It's not that I'm contented in it, but I refuse to allow it to define who I am by having a negative impact on me, because what's in my heart now is the Creator, the words of the Creator, my trust of the Creator. And as a result of that, I'm able to be at peace in it. I'm not sitting here saying now that I don't get a little upset at times, because I do. But what happens then, the word comes and brings me right back to a different level of understanding where I can be comfortable. If Jesus said that he had to go and he was going to send a comforter, and in the midst of it, I can have that peace, that quietness that I wouldn't have before, because what was in my heart before was hatred, just like everybody else. Not like everybody, it's like lots of people. I did not stand, couldn't stand certain people. And whenever I got into the word and what got in my heart, I began to look at things differently, at people's fruits. It's not the person. It's not the whole group. It's the fruit. It's a few. It's a minority. Minority of the people doing things and making noise, and they remind me of the devil. The devil is running here to and fro like a roaring lion, seeking who he may destroy. The key word was like a roaring lion. So you got these people running around here making all this noise because they got the bully pulpit, and you reacting to that when it's not about that. When the word says that this would be happening. So you begin to look at and separate out that God. If what's in their heart is a reflection of who their God is, then their God must be. And whenever you look at it again, my God is different from their God, because my God made it clear in terms of protection, in terms of provision, that he will provide for me. And I'll go to the 23rd Psalm, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, et cetera, et cetera. And that's where I find peace. the peace that passes all understanding. I find it in the Word. And I'm assured that the one that I serve, the one that called me, the one that chose me, the one that knitted me together when I was in my mother's womb, is still here now, providing and protecting me. Whereas before, I looked at things the way the world saw them, and yeah, I was getting concerned and getting upset, and I was allowing that, allowing it to impact my body, my mind, and all of it, because I start hating, and I start wanting to destroy the whole nine yards. This is what I read earlier, which I stated earlier, is that, see if I can get it back right quick. And when I equated what goes in, what enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body. Okay, now you think about that, and then you think, but the things that come out of the mouth comes from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, sexual immorality, theft, false testimonies, false teaching, false doctrine, slander, and all of that. And that's how we know who we're dealing with and what we are dealing with. That's how we know what God they are serving, what God that they are worshiping. And it's not that we're being judgmental. No, we're not. We're just lining up with what the Word says. The Word says what's in your heart is what comes out of your mouth. Now, before I got saved or recognized or gave in to salvation, because we had to go down on the morning bench when I was 12, and whenever you think about it, some of the things that came out of my mouth was completely outside of the Word of God. It was reinforcing the work of the devil. And Jesus made it clear now that he destroyed the works of the devil. So if he destroyed, why does the devil need to do any work when he got people working, doing work for him? I could say things to people and wouldn't be cursing them. I would fall into my intellectual mold, and by the time I finish with you, you would feel like you were lower than the dirt. And I would sit across from the conference table where you're having the discussion, and people trying to make me feel not worthy to have being sit there. And I just sit there and say, did I hear you say? And after you make them repeat what they were saying over and over, they got the message. And I just let them know that I'm supposed to be at this table. You're not doing me any favors. But now I sit at the table, and now what do I say? I ask God to give me the words to say before I go into these meetings. And if he doesn't give me anything to say, I don't say anything. And that's the transformation that took place. And people sit there and then they start wondering. But that's what I mean by what's in your heart is what comes out of your mouth. That is my understanding of what the Scripture is saying and what that meaning is. Because it took me a while to get there, y'all. I'm telling you now. Because I just couldn't equate a muscle. And I had biology, y'all. Little knowledge is a dangerous thing. And I was defining the function of the heart as strictly as a muscle that's pumping blood throughout your body. And also now whenever I at first I was lamenting, wow, these evangelicals following somebody that's a liar. And my book says that the devil is the father of lies. So now something is wrong here. But whenever I went back to the Word and lined it up with the Word, I wasn't concerned anymore. What does the book say? The book said, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. So why should I get bent out of shape about what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing? That in the end, the Creator is going to hold them accountable for what's coming out of their mouth and what action that they have taken as a result of what's in their hearts. Any other comments? Now, silence means what? That everybody's thinking.
Silence means understanding, but the verse I was talking about was, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. People try to predict your end, but God knows your end. That's what I'm saying. Govern yourself accordingly by having the right people around you.
Right. You think about it. Children, let's just go back to childhood. You did what you saw your parents do, didn't you?
Yes.
Huh? Okay. So you're going to wind up doing the things that you see people around you doing. If they're all negative, eventually you're going to try to hold out, but eventually you're going to try. For example, my sister tells me she would come home from work and they would stop and they play cards. And all she did was had a beer. One day, and they were smoking crack around her, smoking weed. So one day, she was influenced to take a hit off the crack. And that's what hooked her onto crack, because that state of euphoria that it brings you to, elevates you to, you are constantly trying to return to that. But now, if she had not been hanging around those people that she was hanging around, they were not an influence. So yeah, she resisted and resisted, but one day, and that started her downward fall. And I understand she's clean now, but yeah, it was those people that was around her. There is a couple other people on. Any comments? Well, I hope that means you are reflecting on who you believe in, why you believe what you believe, and who, what, who, when, where your God resides. Does your God reside in your heart? Is that the one that lined up with the Word? So anybody have anything else that they'd like to share? We have about 5 minutes.
So I can remember my mother telling all of us when we were younger, we were looking in the mirror, don't get too caught up in your looks, because they all could take you to hell. So we start running from the mirror.
Well, you're not by yourself on that. I didn't run from it, but there was back then, I'm a little bit older than you, back then they were telling you that you shouldn't be looking in the mirror all the time, because... And I even heard you shouldn't love yourself. you get in love with yourself and et cetera, et cetera. But, and then, you know, I couldn't understand that either. If I don't love me, who's going to love me? And that was when I was in, what, elementary school. Whenever I heard that, you hear stuff like that coming out of the pulpit as well. So, and they meant well. I understand what they were saying.
In other words, they were trying to tell us, you better get to looking at God, not yourself. You know, you can look at yourself, but you're going to need God in this path of life, the path of life, if you will.
That's right. That don't get caught up in you, that the Creator, someone created you, and you must give credit to the Creator. So you're right. That's why I said, you know, think back on them. I don't have any ill feelings towards them at all. They gave us what it is that they had. And it still helped us to stay focused. And it became on us as we grew and as we got involved. We were able to read. There was different books we had. Because a lot of them back then, the only book they really had was a Bible. And a lot of them had images that was idol, because the Bible clearly said that you should not create an engraven image. And we had images all over the house. And that, again, that helped shape one understanding of who they serve. Well, our time is running out here, and we will be back next week with another topic that hopefully is a contemporary topic. Hopefully, those of you who listen, that was something that cause you to look deeply within yourself and come into an understanding of what's in your heart, how it got there, and you're able to identify with the Lord that you serve. And hopefully, if you find it doesn't quite line up with the word, with your holy book, don't really be upset like I was whenever I started. Some of the stuff that they were telling me ain't true. Some of this, no, it's not biblical. I made my prayer became, I ask the Creator to give me the spirit of courage that I may accept what is being revealed to me as the truth, because that's what lined up with the word and not what I was told. And that helped me to move beyond and helped me to understand my ancestors and not be angry at them. And it helped me understand what was happening around me and how, if I allow the Creator to deal with it, it would be corrected and it would be lasting. And I said that because I just knew that the Civil Rights Movement was going to have solved all the problems. But it hasn't. And it hasn't because we turned from God. This is my take on it. We turned from God to man's institution, to the Supreme Court, which has let us down, turned to the office of the presidency, which has let us down. And we need to rekindle our relationship with the Creator who gave us the earth and who he loved us so that not only gave us the earth, but he put everything here that we will ever need to sustain ourselves. And that's why the sun came, that we may be reconciled back to him. And we just need to get into the Word and begin to read it for ourselves. And then take time to meditate. Take time to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the truth that was hidden in the Word. Because that Word was written down, some want to say 5,000, almost 6,000 years ago. And it's just as valid today as it was when it was written back then, because there's nothing new under the sun. Everything, you just keep repeating itself. It's just a different form, a different shape, but it's basically the same. Thank you for listening. Shalom, shalom. Well, if there's no other comments.
Hello.
All right, shalom.